You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Walls, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moxie joke. Well, party gon' help. I haven't seen John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Off the hook, brother. Off the hook. Man, I got to tell you, what a wondrous week this has been. Unbelievable. We've had our scientific team all over this map. One just got back today, you know, our good buddy Richie Stubstead. This guy has been working wonders. I got to give him a little toot. Richie, this goes out to you. That's to my buddy Richie. I got to tell you, Marco Bill, between him and Shannon Sylvia, and boy, what a treat. You guys got her tonight. Wow. I'll tell you what, when I ask her, she's always too busy. But I guess you've got that special charm, Marco, huh? What'd you do to convince her to come on tonight? This gal is so busy, folks, between all that she does, and she does so much. You have no idea. But Marco calls, and she comes a running. Boy, you got that charm, brother. Whatever it is, let's bottle it, let's sell it, and make a million. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I'm only on for a short time tonight because we're on the move again. And all of the well-wishers on wishing us well and everything else, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from the bottom of the heart of Youngblood. We're, you know, about 80% where we should be. And before you know it, we'll be fine with the grace of God. Because I'll tell you what, we got a story coming up, folks. You want to talk about God's miraculous healing? Well, you're going to hear it from the horse's mouth from this gal tonight. She's going to be my first guest, and after that, I'm going to have to leave. But I promised that I would talk to her and bring her on. She is just wonderful. But before we get to her, I want to get out to some shout-outs to some of our fine friends and family. You don't mind, do you, Marco?
No, by all means. We need to talk to our extended family.
There we go, yes. By the way, Jimmy Snell, if you see his picture up there, he's part of my team, part of the A-team, Paranormal State. His show is coming out all about the Jersey Devil legend, ladies and gentlemen, on A&E February 9th this year. February 9th, 10 p.m. Eastern, you're going to see him out there investigating the Jersey Devil legend. Make sure you tune in. Joe Pinello, Cairo, New York. He's the founder of the Team Masters Paranormal Research. I really appreciate your points of view, Joe, and call me sometime and we'll talk. Matt and the crew out there in Orlando, Florida. Hey, you guys out there at SBK Live 104.1. Thanks for the wonderful interview you gave me this week. Great, great people. George and Lois Habit up there in California. Thanks for your support, gang. Cousin Richie, my buddy out in, this isn't the one we just talked about. This is Cousin Richie in Hawaii. You're the best, buddy. I can't wait to come out there and see you. Hugo Flores in Tustin, California. Thanks for all your help, my friend. Angela Hill. Boy, wait for this article comes out, ladies and gentlemen. She's out there in Oakland, California. She's a reporter for the Oakland Tribune. She's doing one hell of a show. One hell of a report on us. Jared Ledger, thank you for the photo there, Jared. I'm still trying to figure it out, though. I think I saw the sturgeon. Claims that there's a creature up there in this lake, and it was eating a sturgeon. I saw the sturgeon, but I didn't see the creature. Michael Rugg, you all heard me talk about him. He's up there in Felton with the Bigfoot Discovery Museum. He's handling our latest movie, okay? It's The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And I'll tell you now, he's got the first shipment, and he's just he informed me today that yesterday the first shipment went out. So, hey, get him while they last because he's got a short period, a short window to sell them. Randy Marin. Wow, this guy's out there in Montana. Thanks for sharing us the story with what's going on up there, Randy. I can't wait to get up there. Cecil Britt. Pete, Texas. I love the story, Cecil. Pretty incredible, and I know some of the people that you know. Ori Noble from Nevada. He bought our DVD, Bigfoot Lives. Thank you so much. He says it's the best Bigfoot movie he's ever seen. Give me a little toot for Ori. Melissa Cullen from Nevada also. She bought the Bigfoot movie, and she sent a few comments that it's the best that she's ever seen. Back at you, Michelle. Thank you so much. Oh, Melissa. Michelle Lee, she's the photographer for the Almanac. Thanks for all the work that you've done. And we have a big, big photo shoot coming out, ladies and gentlemen, in the Almanac. We made the cover. And this is the gal that did some of the photos. Blake Smith. Mm-hmm. This guy is very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. He runs a thing called Monster Talk Radio on Blog Talk. And it's kind of like the great Randy. And he wants me to come on, but I'll leave it up to you guys if you want me on there or not. Bill Hart, Northern California. Thanks for all that info, Bill. Appreciated it. To my cheerleaders, you know, where would we be, ladies and gentlemen? Every week you hear me talk about them. Connie up in B.C., Bo down in Alabama, Frankie in Mississippi, Susan up there in Minnesota, Faye in Texas, both my Leslies, 1 and 2 down there in Nevada. Becky from Washington, you know, she's the apple of my eye up there. Elsa from Idaho, wow. And we can never close out the show about my cheerleaders without acknowledging the Princess Gigi herself, wherever you are going. Special shout out to Judy down there in Nevada and her nephew, AJ. Hey, AJ, I can't wait to meet you. And Judy, thank you. You are the best. You've come up one hell of a notch, young lady. My extended family up in Montana, the Schilts, up there on the reservation, the Blackfeet. How are you? Can't wait to be up there and see you guys. AK and Chris Riley up in the White Mountain region up there in Arizona. Hello to you and all of our friends out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, it's just a wonderful thing to see all of our friends all around this world. I wish I could just devote one show to all the beautiful people that support us in the 32 countries that we air. But some kudos and salutations just to the people that we know. Thanks for listening in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, we're going to go up there to Northern California, and I got to tell you, I was blessed meeting this gal. What an inspiration to me. She's an author of over 20 suspense books, and boy, can she write. You might all want to go to BrandyLynnCollins.com. That's B-R-A-N-D-I-L-Y-N, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S.com. Besides being beautiful, she is one heck of a writer. And you have to go read her story. It's about God's miraculous healing. Here's a woman that contracted Lyme's disease, paralyzed.
We got the link on the website also, Tom.
Oh, do we really?
Yes,
that's
we do.
Fantastic. Well, without any further ado, let's get up there to Northern California and talk to Brandy Lynn. Brandy Lynn, you out there, dear?
Hey, I am. Good evening, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. Nice to talk to you.
Oh, listen, it's my honor to have you with us, and I'll tell you what. Everybody needs to go to your website. I already said it's BrandyLynnCollins.com. But you know what? It's better to have somebody like you and talk about it from the horse's mouth. It happened to you. You experienced it. Without any further ado, please, and don't leave anything out, Brandy Lynn, because when I read it, I got choked up, and it just blew me away. And, you know, it just proves one more time that the big guy in the sky has that healing power. You have
yes.
The floor. Tell us all about it, darling.
Yes, I know he does personally. I have been a five-mile-a-day runner for almost 30 years. And then in 2003, I came down with Lyme disease very quickly. Literally, one day in my kitchen, I reached down to get a pan in a lower cabinet, and my legs went out from under me, and I sat down hard on my rear end, and I couldn't get up. And that was the beginning of the long sickness. At first, actually, this started in 2002. I didn't know what the disease was. I got progressively worse. I ended up crippling around with a cane, unable to stand for more than 5 minutes at a time. I couldn't think clearly. I couldn't stand light in my eyes. I couldn't stand to be touched, even though it was very difficult getting in and out of a car, going up and down stairs. I couldn't have anyone help me, couldn't have my husband help me, like, you know, grab an arm and pull me up or anything because it hurt so much to be touched. I was finally diagnosed with Lyme in January of 2003, and thus began my heavy medication schedule, lots and lots of antibiotics and supplements, and just trying to live a life that basically everything pretty much had been taken away from me. I wasn't able to do much. I am a strong believer in God's power of healing, and I have a lot of friends who also are, and they began praying for me. And then along about March, I got this real tug in my heart that I was to go up to the healing rooms in Spokane, Washington, and go have special prayer for me there. And we decided to do this. And so we went up to that area. We have a home in that area. And we were going to the healing room Saturday morning. I had not told anyone else that I was doing this. But then I got an email from an author friend of mine who said God had spoken to her and said, you need to set up a 24-hour prayer chain for Brandolin, and every 15 minutes sign up people to pray. And because I'm on an author loop with hundreds of authors, these people responded, and they began signing up to pray for me. And I'll tell you, Tom, it's it's really humbling to hear people are willing to pray for you at 2 a.m.
You bet.
You know, 2 a.m., get up and pray for Brandolin. But they did, and we had many people praying in even those 15-minute time slots for a 24-hour period. Then I heard that 24-hour period was going to be covering that very Saturday when I had felt the tug to go to the healing rooms. So I thought, God's really up to something here. So I went to the healing rooms, and we had one prayer session, and I didn't feel anything happen, but frankly, I really went in there feeling like I would be healed. We had a second prayer session, and again, I did not feel anything. I guess I thought I would feel something, you know, my body would change somehow immediately, like I would throw my cane up in the air and leap up like they did in the Bible, you know. It didn't happen. I walked out, and all I could think of was, God, I don't understand what's happened, why I haven't been healed, but I love you and I praise you anyway. We got in the car, and we had about an hour's drive to our home in that area. By the time we got out of the car home, I was healed. Everything
wow.
was gone. I literally popped out of that big SUV, which before would have taken me so long to get out of. I didn't need my cane. My legs were strong. I walked into the house, and I looked at that long flight of stairs in our great room. And the next thing I knew, I ran up the stairs, and then I turned around and ran down them. Anyone who's not been able to walk knows coming downstairs is way harder than going up.
Yes.
I flew down the stairs. I was fine. I let out a shriek. My family came running. I was absolutely, totally healed in the space of that hour. It's like every symptom just fell away. And then I got on my computer and started reading emails from this author loop. People were pouring in their emails from talking about their 15-minute schedules for praying for me. Before that, I hadn't been on the computer much because I really couldn't read very easily. And these emails were talking about how people felt so close to God as they were praying for me. And, you know, one of them said, I just know that this story is going to go around the world and she's going to be healed. Well, I already was healed. But that prayer session timing went all the way to midnight Saturday night, and I realized God was doing more for these people as they were praying for me, that this wasn't really just about my healing. It was about God showing other people what he could do for me. So I did not even write that email loop and tell them that I had yet been healed. I waited till the next day so that all those prayers could pray all the way up to midnight and receive that blessing of having prayed for me. The last prayer at midnight said she tried and tried to pray for my healing, but she could not, and finally, it's like the words wouldn't come, and finally all she could do is sing this song from her childhood Sunday school days, praise him, all you little children. It's like she was praising him for my healing, but she didn't know I'd been healed already. But I was, and the next day, I went on the loop and told the readers, I really was healed, you really did hear God, and to this day, that story and much more than I can tell you tonight has been on my website at BrandolynCollins.com. And indeed, people all over the world have read that story of my healing.
Well, I got to tell you something. You are one hell of an inspiration. I've seen you in person, as you know. I see you run. And if you had a walker or a cane and something to hold you back, I couldn't see it in you today because, girl, I'll tell you what, you are something else. Wow. I mean, you run circles around an awful lot of people, and you are one inspiration, especially to me. I got to tell you that. But you know what? That is just one of your great stories. You're an author of over 20 books.
Yeah. I write suspense. I love writing stories of drama and suspense, and somewhere in that suspense is a thread of faith somewhere in there. But mostly they're just very fast-paced, you know, turn them from the first page kind of suspense novels. That's what I love to write.
Wow. Wow. I'll tell you what. You're an inspiration to me. And ladies and gentlemen out there, if you hear my voice, go to BrandyLynnCollins.com, get on that website, look at these books, listen to her story all over, read it yourself in the comfort of your own home. She is one hellacious lady. God bless you, dear, and thank you so much for being with us, okay?
Hey, thank you so much.
You know what? You might want to listen to the show. Just mute yourself out. There's a lot more coming here.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure you'll find it interesting, okay?
Thank you, Tom.
God bless you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a story, huh, guys? That was, wow, Brandy Lynn Collins. She is something else. What an inspiration. I mean, you got to watch this woman motor. She's trucking, boy. I watched her. I seen her. Just an incredible woman. And by the way, Jimmy Snell, you're out there. I didn't see you. Just came in lately. we mentioned about you. He's our team, ladies and gentlemen, on the East Coast, Paranormal State. He's going to have that Jersey Devil legend on A&E on February 9th, 2010, 10 p.m. Eastern. So get in there and watch it. Tell us all about it. And by the way, yes,
I urge everyone, if you go to Brandon Lynn's website, and she has her story written out there, and it is absolutely phenomenal.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
I got to tell you.
If you read that thing, I'm going to tell you, you're going to change the way that you believe about a lot of things. I don't have to believe because I already am a cure. I had my miracle a couple of months ago, but it's wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, before I go, Bill, I want to tell everybody out there about what happened to my girl up there in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, I normally don't talk about things like this, but I'm going to bring it out. Jabba Bob has it on the website. It shows a letter from the state of Washington, the DNR, and the Wildlife and Fish and Game. Somebody perpetrated just one more hoax, okay? You need to look at this. It came from official letterhead. It was sent to her home. Now you're really invading somebody's privacy, whoever you are. And we're not going to stop at this because we're going to get to the bottom of it. We've already lodged letters of complaint to the DNR, Fish and Wildlife, and also the Postal Commission. So whoever you are, believe me, they're on the lookout for you. And I'm sure you're listening to our show tonight. Jabba Bob's done a great job of putting it on the website. He's going to be emceeing the show along with Marco Bill and Alex from... I understand JC's with us, too, out there in Four Corners. And, of course, Alex Hearn will give us an update in Arizona. I got to hit the road, ladies and gentlemen. God bless. It was a wonderful time to talk with you guys. And until next time, I turn it over to you, Billy.
Okay, Tom. You have a good trip, my friend.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Well, Jabba Bob and nice. Alex Hearn.
Hi, Marco.
Greetings. greetings. Well, what a story, huh? I mean, what an experience from Brandon.
And I'm on her website as we speak. Great website.
Yeah. I went up earlier and I read the whole thing. It's really a remarkable experience and story that she went through. That's something really. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I had about a 20% chance of living for a year. About 8 months ago, and of course that changed overnight, and it was through prayers from people just like you, prayer chains, family, and other people. I think that got me through this, and the Lord did bring me through it. I didn't expect a lot, but when it was all done, I got a lot, and I couldn't believe it. But anyway, hey, we got some really great things going on tonight here, Alex and Jabba Bob. As you may know, we got another good friend of ours that has been in the hospital here in a couple operations, Steve Dismore, and Steve has been going through some trials and tribulations, but he's also got back and he's ready to get in the swing of things. So, Alex, would you like to bring old Steve on? Steve, you're there.
I sure would. Steve, are you out there?
I got to unmute him. I'm sorry, Steve. I unmuted the wrong number.
We finally found a way to keep him quiet, Marco.
that's what it takes. You got to mute me out. I can't stop talking.
How you doing, Frank?
Well, my surgeon was wonderful. He took good care of me, and with his work and help from God, I believe I'm going to be okay now. I just had something that I really wanted to say on this show tonight, and it kind of boils down to a few things that I've noticed here recently. And it's, you know, I'm not trying to run anybody down, but I've got to put it out there. There was a certain person on the TV the other day. I'm not going to say his full name, but his last name is Meldrum. He claimed to be the foremost expert on Bigfoot research. And that he had the largest collection of Bigfoot prints in existence, which was 200. I personally know that Tom has more than that in his garage. Okay? So that right there kind of got me to cooking, and I got to thinking about some of the things they were saying. And what's going on, if anybody's been watching the TV here lately, is Kentucky has become a big limelight. There's a lot of things going on in Kentucky, all over Kentucky. And the people that are here doing this research, and well, the people that are doing the research everywhere, I mean, I watch the shows because I'm interested in who's doing what. I know they're not going to find anything because they don't spend enough time in the field doing anything. I don't think one of them's ever been outside when the weather's been below 30 degrees or the wind chill factor, you know, taking it down to zero.
Crashing down, you know.
Well, I look at everything they say that they're doing, and I know the things that we have done and the things where we've hiked in and done all this and the time we've spent, and they've got all this money and grants and stuff that they're getting, and you know, we're doing this on what we can get, you know. And we've come up with more than they can come up with.
You talk about time spent in the field, you talk about Rob Price. He's like 3 months solid.
Yeah, right? I mean, he become a part of the field, you know. I mean, he's truly a go-getter. There's no joke about that. But it's not just. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle him by no means. It's the whole crew though. Look at what Jabba Bob does. Look at what Bill does. You know. Look at what Tom has done and how many years he's done it. He's never let anything stop him. Okay. Whatever. Never stop.
That's it. Okay. That's why it's the real deal.
And, you know, everybody wants to, they can say what they want to. It's what I know. Okay? I'd contacted several agencies about what I had seen and what had happened, and it took a period of years and never got anyone to do anything. All these hot shot know-it-alls and they're on TV all the time. I ran into them by accident. Okay?
And, you know, Steve, tell us exactly what you've seen. Give us an account of one of your experiences, because we know you've had a couple.
You know what? This is Jabba Bob. Steve, why don't you share how you ran into us and what you shared with us that first day we met?
Well, I was driving past one of our local barbecue restaurants, and I seen the truck and trailer outside. You know, it's on there searching for Bigfoot, and I thought, well, maybe these are the guys are actually looking for Bigfoot. So I pulled over there beside it, and I waited for a little while, probably 30 minutes. No one came out. I came in and looked around, didn't really recognize anybody, you know. So I went back.
It was pouring down rain too, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was. We had a really big storm, and I went back and set in my truck, and finally you guys came out, and I think it was you that I spoke to first. I said, do y'all really look for Bigfoot? And the answer was yes, this is what we do. And it was explained to me. And I told you, I said, you probably won't believe me, but I've got a story to tell. And the remarks was, you'd be surprised about what we believe. And, you know, so there the conversation went. And I told you a story about how I'd had an encounter in my area. And just about three quarters way through the subject, I was stopped, and because I'd said something about the anatomy of the footprint.
Yeah, go ahead and tell everybody what you said.
Well,
share a little bit about your story about what you were doing and what happened.
Okay, what I was doing at the time is I was collecting mussel shells, which was illegal. I was getting them at night. Okay. And me and my friend were there, and we went back to the car to sit down. It was one of those red sky nights. It was you could see a little bit, and we decided we'd go back to the car, take a break, and up the road from where we were at, to slide a hill, we could see something coming down the hill, and I just assumed it was a game warden coming in to bust us, you know, bust us for what we were doing. And I turned on the headlights of the car, and lo and behold, stood an enormous Sasquatch. I mean, there was no doubt about what it was. Okay? I never thought of him before, but that's what it was. There wasn't no bear. Bears don't look like this. Took off running in the woods. You could smell the smell coming through the window cracks there. And you could actually hear it making some noise back in the woods. And then you could hear it running toward the car. You know, the footfalls. And then an enormous log hit the front of my car and moved my car. And my car was a Cadillac. It scooted it over. And then about that time, it slid across the trunk of my car. By that time, I'm taking off and headed up the road. I'm taking off. Okay. I get to where I think I'm in safety. Because I was just knew this creature was hanging on my car. Every kind of horror movie made me think that he was fixing to get me at any time. But I had hair. I had actual hair samples. I had, you know, you could see finger marks where it slid across my car. Well, I got a hold of the fishing game. Because I was just, you know, sure, I didn't care if I went to jail or not. I wanted them to know that Bigfoot had attacked me last night, or attacked my car. And we go up there, and they found the footprints, and we seen the log, which, you know, at the time, I was extremely strong. I mean...
But you were a powerlifter, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to powerlift in school. I used to lift. That's what I did. I could not budge this log, one end of it. Okay? And
now, what's interesting
flying.
To me, Steve, is when you described the print, what was unusual about the print that you found when you went back to look at the area?
It had toes missing on the left foot.
It was the left foot. Which toes were missing?
It was the two toes from the end there. I can't explain it. It's
okay. Now, let me fill everybody in here. The reason that we were in the restaurant there is we had gone and met with Jan Thompson, and she's the one that wrote the story about the creature out there in LBL, Land Between the Lakes. We met with some newspaper people, and we went out to inspect this area. And while we were out there with the news crew and everything, and we're hiking around out there, TJ, Tom Biscardi Jr., found a print. And he actually cast the print. And as the weather changed, we decided we'd come to town, and we took that print with us and have lunch. So we took them into this restaurant. When we got out of the restaurant, here was this car parked next to our truck, and there was Steve. Now, Steve, this is the part that's critical to me. You described that print very well. What print had we just cast?
You casted the exact same print that was the whole thing. That's why I was stopped in the middle toward the end of the conversation. Y'all had cast the exact same print.
Not
same
only that, print. It was in the same area.
Same area. And
it was I don't know how much difference in time, but probably a year.
Oh. It was several years. The creature had been obviously using, or he still lives there. He either uses this trail often, or he stays there all the time. Because, I mean, but the odds of me meeting and the odds of y'all, the way it happened, we didn't know each other. This wasn't set up. I just took a chance that y'all were for real Bigfoot researchers, not using it for something else. Just a name, you know, as a gimmick.
So but you were concerned we weren't going to believe you. Now, I tell you what, you became an instant hero there. You know, there was no question as to the validity of your story once we compared notes there. Amazing stuff. You're right. The odds of that happening are so remote. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I've been out there with you several times. I remember out there one time standing on the shore of that lake. I guess it was... Is that Barkley Lake we were at?
Yeah, we were on Barkley Lake.
Yeah, and yelping and howling and getting answers from the other side of the lake. And I actually recorded them and put those on the website.
You know, the thing about it, which we can't give it enough justice, because the katydids was making so much noise, the cicadas.
Mm-hmm.
It was so loud, it was ear-piercing. It was no echo, and it was moving. It went, I don't know how many thousand yards from the back of that bay to directly across from us. And if people can remember listening, you said, you told everybody to be quiet. Don't turn on no lights. Well, we wasn't going to try to look at the creature. We had him coming to us. The only thing was, yep, he would have had to swim across the lake. That would have been the only problem.
Yeah.
But I mean,
amazing experience.
About 7 minutes into to our next guest time.
Well, I don't want to kill off the guest time because
I know that's important. Well, we got three more guests to go, and I just want to make sure everybody has time to get in the show. But Steve, it's wonderful, just wonderful hearing from you and seeing that you're feeling better.
Well, I'll be ready to go by the time everybody else gets back this way. I love all you guys, and I wish you all well. And we will have the creature. It's just a matter of time. People got to have patience.
Well, you take care, Steve, and God bless.
Steve, it was great talking to you.
Later,
take care, my brother.
You do the same.
Night, Big Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, Alex. Later.
Who's next, Marco?
Well, Alex and Java Bob. Shannon Sylvia is next, and Shannon is, has been working with Tom here and with Richard Substrate on all these different various things. Now, everybody's got to know we've had a press release here recently, and I'm on the website. My website, I put it up there. On the 23rd of February, there'll be a news conference to release the DNA results and of all several different things that they've been working on, and they're going to have a press conference to reveal the results of that. Shannon, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How is everyone tonight?
Super. Java Bob?
We're all good, Shannon. How are you? I mean, first of all, I want people to understand who Shannon is. Shannon is she's one of our associate members who handles so much stuff. This woman is a real dynamo. She's a real stand-up person, a true professional. We just, I can only say praise God that we met her in the first place, and she decided to come and support us. And she has opened doors for this corporation like you wouldn't believe. And she's in the middle of a project now working with a guy named Richard Stepstead, who they're just walking down roads nobody's walked down before, breaking doors open, getting some amazing results. And Shannon, why don't you take a few minutes and share with everybody just exactly what you're doing out there.
Okay, I really don't know how much I will share, prior to the press conference. I want to leave the big moment for then. But, what basically we started to do was, everyone will recall that we got those amazingly interesting results from the university in which they stated that the male DNA was 99% human and 1% unknown primate-like, if I recall. And Richard and myself started to take that a little bit further. Richard's background heavily focuses on statistics, so we were really fortunate to be able to take advantage of that and further expand our comparison study of the DNA sequence that we obtained from the nail. We compared that to various other primate DNA genomes. We compared it against just about every available haplogroup of humans. So we compared it against, in essence, different human cultures, genetic cultures, I guess, is one way to say it. And just everything, basically, we could get our hands on to see if we could come up with a match. And, folks, there's no match. This is definitely an unknown species. We did get involved with it's an amazing, fortunate situation where we located a very astute doctor who was involved herself in a similar research program. And she is very objective, very professional, and in fact, that's where Richard has been for the last couple of days. I can tell you he's been out in Texas. And when he comes back and he's on next week's show, I'm sure he's going to have a great amount of information to share with you. But it is looking very good, and I believe that we are going to have some groundbreaking information to share with everyone at the press conference.
Well, I you're absolutely right. What we're finding in general terms is that very often when certain professionals find something that is not quite what they expected, they tend not to lay it on the line and say it like it is. I mean, they kind of hedge around it a little bit, and they come up with things like, well, it must be contaminated, it must be this, must be that. But we're finding that there are other samples out there that match ours. And we're working from that angle. And basically, it's because of the work that Shannon and Richard have done in actually doing the analysis themselves, bringing that to some of these experts who finally say, you know what, we're onto the same thing. And so now, for the first time that I'm aware, we're able to work together with one of these organizations, and we're making some huge steps forward and might be on the verge of a major, major discovery. And that's because of the professionalism and the hard work that this team is putting into this. And Shannon, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I mean, you've just been awesome, absolutely awesome. And you're developing some patience, too, working with us, because I know sometimes we can be pretty hard to get along with and pretty hard to work with. But your professionalism just shines through, and it's an inspiration to all of us, and I want to thank you for it.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. And I would say that this is the culmination of everything that all of the members of SFBI have been working on for the past many years, especially you and Tom. It's just culminated to this point now, but it's the input of everybody involved that's brought us there. And you're all inspiration for us, and the interest of the listeners to the program really inspire me, as well as the guests. So thank you very much as well for allowing me to be part of such a fascinating exploration. And it's been a wonderful experience meeting everyone. You're all just tremendous people. I cannot believe the caliber of people that have been brought to the table because of the...
Whoop. Yeah, what happened?
We lost you, Shannon. What happened?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh.
I heard a beep, too, but I'm here.
That's okay. Well, Shannon, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show tonight. I know you're very busy, and possibly maybe following a couple of weeks here, you and Richard both be on the show to go through all the results of all your work.
Well, that would be wonderful, certainly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
May I say one last thing very quickly? I don't want to take
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, God, for healing Marco, Brandolin, and Stephen. You know, God says that all you have to do is ask. You don't have because you don't ask. So I just want people to keep that in mind and praise him for your recovery. Thank you.
Well, I thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, my friends, Alex and Kevin Bob.
Is J.C. Johnson around here somewhere?
J.C. Johnson is around here somewhere.
There we go.
I'm hanging
right
out.
Right ahead, J.C.
Definitely here. Hanging out. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, my brother. How are you doing?
Absolutely wonderful. I had a little touch of the flu for a couple of days, but I'm back and I'm strong again. I'm happy to be back and strong. My goodness.
Excellent.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ho, ho, ho.
Amen.
And you don't have because you don't ask. Remember that. It's a wonderful thing. Guys, what's new and exciting in your part of the world?
My goodness. You know, we have been just going crazy with this stuff and breaking down some barriers and putting together some really strong arguments here. And Tom is getting ready to announce it all publicly, but I think what we're talking about here is probably the most dramatic statement, the most dramatic information to date concerning this subject. And we're all excited about it. So what's happening up there in the Four Corners area?
Well, you know, Marco Bill called me today. He got Tales from the Canyon, which is a story I wrote on a snowy, crappy day, not too long ago. Kind of parlaying the events we've had up in this particular canyon over a period of time since August. And, you know, the same story, I've got the link in the chat room here so they can come read it. And there's links where they can go watch video and different things to kind of tie in with what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. But I'm glad Marco liked the story, you know. And
yeah, there's you a left lot me of hanging. You left me hanging, JC. To be continued.
When you get Darren on, Darren's on next, and Darren's going to continue part of the story that I haven't written yet or, you know, published yet. So it should be very interesting. But this particular canyon has been of interest. It's an amazing place. And it's a situation where we're really putting ourselves at risk to be in this canyon. There's only one little two-track road out to get away from this area in good weather. And if they don't want you to leave, you're not going to leave. They can push over a half a dozen saplings across the road. You're not going to leave. So it's been a good area for encountering the furry ones. It has. It's been exceptional. And we've got exceptional things. If you read through the story, I've probably got some of the best whoops recorded. I think so anyway. Without a lot of background noise and dogs howling and coyotes and everything else, I've probably got some of the best whoops recorded in this story if you check it out.
I'd like to add something real quick here, JC. First of all, for those of you who haven't checked out JC's site or are not familiar with the work he does, the man is really an artist. Not only is he an avid researcher, but his ability to tell a story with sounds, pictures, and video, put it together, is amazing. He truly is an artist. And if you haven't been there, go to that site and check it out. Not just this story, but some of the others he's got there, some of his videos are fantastic, worth every minute you can spend there. So just want to get that out there. Sorry,
thank you, Java Bob. Appreciate that. Also, we've got our Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends for sale, too. It's just type in Crypto Four Corners, you'll find us, and you'll find the link to our video. Anyway, we're back. We're live.
You know, so what's Leonard Dan up to?
Talking about Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends, it's not the legends that are bothering us, it's the skinwalkers. So
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But not to the point of any, it's hard to explain. We know we're safe. It's just a really inconvenient thing at this point.
Uh-huh. For those of you who don't know Leonard Dan, if you go to any of our expeditions in that area, you'll see Leonard in there, and we all are amazed at some of the things he's able to do. He's 10 years my senior, and he's probably as fit as most 40-year-old men. They call him Chief Walks a Lot out there because nobody can keep up with him. But his knowledge he's a unique individual in that he's a degreed professional man raised in the old ways of the Diné, the Navajo. And he knows both the old ways, the spiritual ways, the ways close to the earth, and he can communicate them because he's a degreed, educated man.
He's a geologist of 30 years, retired, so I think that takes a few degrees. And, you know, to be with this man and to look at the strata and the rock structure and everything else in his presence and to look at the time periods of different things and then to look at the fact that we've got all these unknown cryptids out here that are still wandering around is amazing. Because, you know, the timelines and the strata and the structure where the fossils were found and we still have these living fossils moving and walking on this earth is amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, he's taken us out there and showed us things that were just mind-boggling. This is a guy, you got to understand that we were in Wisconsin, and there was a path of some tornadoes coming towards us, and we were watching the news from inside the house, and they were headed, it's kind of like stop motion as they show these things moving up, you know, these tornadoes on the Doppler, and they're heading right towards the house we're in, and they're within a quarter mile, and we start going, you do have a storm shelter here, right? You do, and they said, yes, right out here. So we're getting ready to get in the storm shelter, and Leonard said, oh, don't bother. It's going to turn south. It's not going to come near here. And we said, what? Look at it. It's right there. It's only maybe a quarter mile away. He says, no, I talked to the frog, and it's going to go. Do you remember that? Well, and we're watching it, and all of a sudden, it starts heading south, went right past us, didn't come anywhere near us. You've got to understand, when Leonard says he talks to the frog, to us, that means he walked up and had a conversation with it. To Leonard, that means, I saw the signs in nature by watching these animals and how they react, and I know what's going to happen, and he was absolutely right, and he's done that time after time after time.
He's never been wrong. He's 100% on it. Remember that last morning we were there in that particular location? The weather frog said, get out of here now.
Yeah.
And we did. And 18 minutes later, where the truck was parked, a tree fell.
That's right.
We had the total complete blackout from rain. We could not see one inch in front of us. On the side of us,
we had to stop dead on the freeway because we couldn't see.
Yeah. Thank God some 18-wheelers put on their four-ways and parked behind us because we could not get away. It was terrible.
Well, should we let
Darren
continue the story where you left off, JC?
Well, actually, I haven't even got into what's happened there, but you know what? I'm going to have Darren.
Well, you can both
share
how about
his story.
Both of you take it on. I got Darren on now. We got about 7 minutes, so we can take it through.
Okay.
6 minutes now.
Let's bring it on.
Time is a thief. Hey, Darren, you're on. Can you hear us?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, jump right in there, Darren.
Okay. Well, where did JC leave off?
You know, I didn't really even get into anything. We've done so many expeditions to this canyon. I wanted to talk about the time you went down with Jonathan Lee, our witnesses, and yourself when you guys camped down there and what happened to you.
Well, basically, what happened was we set up camp. It was pretty late by the time we got out there. And it was probably about dark by the time we got there. It was around 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, and we set up camp, and I conducted the tree knockings, and we got a reciprocation from it out in distance. That was probably about 9:30 that happened, and then by 11 o'clock we start hearing the whooping sounds going on. It went off for about 5 minutes. A little boy who was with us, he's pretty good at the whoopings, and he started doing his whoopings, and we started getting answers back. Unfortunately, we didn't know what was being said to us. And then I stayed up most of the night, and which time, probably about 11 o'clock, we started getting some visitations off in the distance by the tree line, which was probably about 200 yards from us. Basically in all directions. I took out my night vision and scanned scanned the area. Basically, we got a little bit of eye shine, but nothing real definite. And then after a little while, stayed up most of the night.
Hey, Darren.
And yeah.
What color was the eye shine?
Well, through the night vision, everything's green, but it looked almost like a greenish gold color.
Okay.
It was just a really funky color.
Not to chime in, but I'm telling you, Alex, we had two Jaguar up above that same camp while I was down there on one of the last expeditions with green eye shine.
Wow.
Big green eye shine. Jaguar.
Green. Not big, orange.
Big Jaguar.
Well, Darren, did you have your son with you?
Yes, I did. You remember him?
Well, he attracts cats. Remember last time we were out together, we had a mountain lion stalking him, and we had to run it off. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he talks about that a lot. He really does. I got a call from his school one day, and I had to go down there, and his teacher was telling me he was swearing in school, and I was like, what? And they said that he was saying, you know, quote unquote, ass scratch. And I was like, oh, no, he's saying Sasquatch.
Well, he's a great guy. I remember the first time we met him, his first thing he said was, is Tom Biscardi with you guys?
Yeah. We got the movie Bigfoot Lives. And he engorged himself in that. I don't know if you remember the newspaper article he had a year prior to us meeting you.
But you've
got about 1 minute to close out, and then I'll have 1 minute to close the show.
Okay. Well, all I can say is the sightings that we've had and the experiences, it's been incredible. Before we got out of the canyon, my little boy Blaine, as we were getting ready to take off, he said, it's here. And this was moments before we even smelled it. I mean, he has such a perception of you know, these creatures being around us. It's incredible.
And I want to chime in, too. Our witnesses... from Fruitland, where you'll see it in the story, if you link up to the story. One of the witnesses is a game warden from the Ute tribe, and they heard about our gentleman being basically run off the mountain the night before, so they went back the next night. And as they built the fire, they were throwing logs in by the fire for them to build the fire up. And they're like, thank you. And then they had a sighting of about a 10-footer. In between some aspen trees, and he tried to cover himself behind an aspen tree out in the open, and he was sticking out on either side of the aspen tree by like 5 feet. So, you know, interesting thing. He tried to hide himself, and he couldn't hide himself. He's huge. So this is a very special canyon. And if you guys, you know, if you get a chance to read the link, look at all the links I've got inside this story, Tales from the Canyon, a true story.
And it's really great, JC. I enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy it more, too. We got about 48 seconds to close the show. I want to thank Darren, and I want to thank you, JC, for coming on and bringing us through some of this. We got to get you on more often. But anyway, I'd like to extend to Alex and Java Bob. Good evening, and have a great time. And everyone out there, we're hoping that everybody's out there searching for Bigfoot. And we'll
see
you all next week.
Love you, Java Bob.
Love you. Miss you too, brother. And keep your head clear of them power windows.
Alex, I'll take down the river. You can come back, Alex. River trip. River
Good night,
trip.
Everybody.
Wait, JC. I can't wait.
Good night.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries. Find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. you see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like,
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And
this be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
the hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster mission mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're falling together.